We're back on the local beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry, as we welcome in the one and only Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today, sir?
Good, Rocco. Doing okay.
Fantastic, Dave. Fantastic to hear. Have a couple of stories from Tuesday's Chronicle-Telegram that I want to talk about here with you. First and foremost, listen, that train crash in East Palestine certainly making news, not just across Ohio, but the U.S. as a whole. But a crash here in Elyria, not a train crash necessarily, but a car crash, has really devastated a local business. What's the latest here?
Yeah, scary situation. On Sunday, when a car crashed through the wall of the Espresso Bakery, right there on East River Road. Stores been trying to get through tough times with the pandemic, and harder times ahead. A Toyota crashed through the wall, injured one of the employees, nearly hit Lauren Black, who's who helps run the store, their husband Keith. Keith, almost in tears, on Monday, talking to Bruce Bishop, our photographer, who wrote a short story, and very nearly the span of 3 feet. Lauren Black might have been seriously injured or worse when she was nearly struck. There was a customer that helped get the trapped employees out from under the debris. It's a really unfortunate setback for these small business owners in Elyria. Their councilman Andrew Lippian has set up a GoFundMe. The link is in the story, which can be found at chronicletea.com. Title, of course, Espresso Bakery owner is the future following crash. And there's some concerns about what's going to happen. The Blacks work really hard. They really do work really hard. It's a nice little small business, nice little bakery. Thousands of pounds of equipment got tossed around, damaged, some product lost. Keith Black saying that the damage could be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So depending on what happens with the cause of the crash, but that that driver, obviously there may be some sort of insurance kind of payments that can be worked out down the line. I'm not going to speculate on how all that's going to go, but if you can support the Espresso Bakery in any way, that'd be they're good people over there, and maybe go over and try to throw some money in the GoFundMe. If they get back open and running again, go over and get some product. I know when they first opened, a lot of folks in the Chronicle-Telegram newsroom were really really excited about that, not too far away from our offices. So yeah, it's a scary situation. Fortunately, looks like a broken ankle was the worst physical injury, but still scary. A lot of emotional, sort of psychological damage there as well. Just good that everybody is mostly physically okay.
Yeah, no question. And like you said, while the physical damage might not be too bad, certainly a ton of emotional damage and just business damage done by this. I am yet to try Espresso Bakery, unfortunately. So I'm hoping they get back up and running. And just kind of reading through Bruce Bishop's story here, the Blacks putting in 60, 70, 80 hour work weeks, the husband and wife together. So certainly, like you said, a nice small local business here in Elyria. Would certainly like to see them get back up on their feet somehow, some way after this catastrophic event. So great recap by you there, Dave. And again, for more from Bruce Bishop on that, you can pick up a copy of the Chronicle-Telegram. Check it out online at chronicletea.com. You can find that GoFundMe link there as well. Another story from Tuesday I want to talk about with you, Dave, comes from your colleague, Carissa Wojtek. Free school meals continues to be a hot topic, not just here in Ohio or in Lorain County, but across the U.S. as a whole, as families deal with low-income levels and just trying to, put food in their kids' bellies. And right now there's an effort to make meals free for all students in Ohio. What's the latest here?
Yeah, this is something that came up, and we try to sort of localize our some state news. But advocates are really pushing for all students to get free meals in school. A lot of students, especially whose families are sort of living paycheck to paycheck, who might not otherwise eat three meals a day and can get, one or two meals during school hours. Sometimes that's all these kids are going to eat. And that especially, becomes a problem during summer. There are summer school, meal programs, summer camps and Boys and Girls Clubs and some of those other, some of those other agencies provide, programs that help to, help to feed kids. send them to camps where they can get, you know, fresh meals. But this is a situation where the Ohio Education Association and the Children's Defense Fund are coming together, working, you know, and have been working, you know, through the pandemic and into the current school year, on trying to expand access to meals. And, you know, the OEA president, Scott DeMauro, said that, you know, students can't learn on empty stomachs. I think we all know that that if you don't eat, you know, everybody's been through a situation where they haven't eaten or they've skipped a meal, and it's just your attention kind of goes elsewhere, and your stomach starts to rumble and that kind of thing. I know I've been in that situation before, you know, on long days. But students who are trying to learn, trying to improve themselves, in trying to get a good education, you really can't eat. I mean, you really can't learn. I'm sorry. You really can't learn without eating. Catherine Unger, who is a policy associate with the Children's Defense Fund, also spoke, during this news conference that happened on Monday, talked about up to, you know, 25% of kids in some Ohio counties, you know, or 25% of kids, I should say, you know, live in a county that faces, you know, that faces hunger situations. And more than a third of students live in households facing food insecurity, don't qualify for school meals. And this is all part of research that's been done through Children's Defense Fund. You know, also a Baldwin-Wallace University study, you know, expanded access to meals, you know, has better outcomes, right? In Lorain County, there's a parent in Wellington Schools, Megan Thompson, who said her family, you know, can pack lunches. And when Chris spoke with her, she said that she doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean she doesn't see the need within the district, right? Wellington Schools have 1,000 students. More than one out of every four of those students are low income. So that's 250-plus kids. Low income might not be able to eat hot meals more than once a day. Depending, you know, and some, you know, there are some children, I'm sure, who are going without, you know, any hot meals, you know, on some days. Sometimes it's just, you know, packed, you know, cold lunches or sandwiches or something like that. Overland Community Services, you know, again, you know, serves 700 to 800 children, you know, every month during the school year. Some families just aren't able to, you know, buy as much food, you know, have to rely on paying the bills, keeping the lights on, keeping the heat on, keeping, you know, the property taxes paid or keeping the rent paid. And it can add up more, you know, more children in a family. You know, some districts, you know, are charging, you know, more than one family can afford for all their kids. So it's a big concern. And there's some other, you know, some agencies, certain school districts have seen, you know, lunch debt double. Some of these school districts won't feed kids or will feed them kind of a very, you know, basic, you know, amount of food until they pay their school lunch debt. We see all the time, you know, sort of these purported, you know, happy news stories about people paying off lunch debt for students in schools, including in some schools in, you know, in Lorain County. When some advocates are arguing that why do we even have lunch debt for students under the age of 18 to begin with? Why are we not feeding children? You know, and that's one of the arguments that has come up. Why are we not feeding children who are supposed to be learning in schools where they are required to be? And again, sometimes this might be one of the only times in a day, you know, or even during week where they get hot food. So yeah, there's a drive from a number of agencies to change this. You know, it may possibly come up. And again, also, we've talked, I think, about SNAP benefits going away. You know, some of these benefits, you know, WIC and SNAP benefits, you know, food stamps, if you will, are going away. Second Harvest is trying to push to help with some of this. You know, they've seen an increase in families with children looking for food assistance. So this is something that's going to continue to come up. It's going to continue to be seen, you know, and hopefully some movement will be made. Maybe, you know, maybe on the legal side of things, maybe the Ohio legislature will take this up.
Well, and like you said, Dave, I mean, we've all been there from a personal standpoint, right? We've all gotten hangry, as the term is, right? Hungry and angry. You get hangry, and it can be hard to focus. It can be hard to learn. I know sometimes it can be hard to get work done. I'm sure you feel the same when you've got that stomach rumbling. You just want to get some food in there. So we'll see where this all goes, and certainly a lot of support for this as we try to get kids fed here in school in Ohio, as we are talking with Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram on this morning's Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broadway. Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the Chronicle working on this week as far as upcoming stories go? What can our listeners expect to find in the paper?
Yeah, well, Lorain County Board of Commissioners having their doing their first evening meeting since 2021, since mid 2021. They did it back then. They're trying it again. So that's from Tuesday evening, and I'll have more on that. You know, we'll be at ChronicleT.com and in Wednesday's paper and this morning's paper, and also police rescued more than a dozen chihuahuas from a home in Lorain, and Kevin Martin will have that story. I think there will be a lot of people looking forward to reading that one.
I Chihuahua, Dave. All right, I love me a puppy rescue story. Give me all of that, and then some more on top of it. So, if you want to read up on that, make sure you pick up a copy of today's Chronicle Telegram, or you can find it online. That digital e-edition available, of course, at ChronicleT.com. All right, Dave, we can close on this as we always do. What are you hearing for this week's scanner story?
I'm going to take you again, courtesy of Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter. To Garfield Heights, Dateline Garfield Heights, a disturbance. A man known to police, dressed like a ninja with a sword on his back. Not doing anything wrong, except he's playing a role, probably scaring people too. And hashtag things we hear.
Well, Dave, look, if you're known to police and people are spotting you willy-nilly, you're not being a very good ninja now, are you? I mean, I don't know. I think his ninja skills might need some work, but I guess, I mean, who am I to really judge on that front? So, oh, my goodness gracious. Dave, entertaining scanner story as always, my friend. A pleasure catching up with you. Again, for the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues at the Chronicle Telegram, pick up a copy of the CT today or find that digital e-edition online at ChronicleT.com. Dave, thank you for the time as always, my friend. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up some more next Wednesday.
Sounds great, Rocco. Talk to you then.